In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amin is going to give us the talk today.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God. So I'm going to start off the talk with a disclaimer that Abuna Jono asked me to give the talk, and I sort of spent the whole day preparing the sermon and, you know, trying to look at all the resources and things. And I realized at midnight that I prepared the wrong sermon for the wrong day. So, which is funny because the sermon I was preparing was on the 10 versions and it was about how to be prepared and how to be ready. So that didn't work out. So, you know the expression, your heart drops? Like Monica's trying to pick it up from the ground somewhere and trying to give it to me. So that was it wasn't a good start. But when I read what the actual sermon was about, I was somewhat very relieved, thank God. Because it's one of my favorite miracles in the entire Bible, and for a very simple reason. And that is that God takes the very little and the very weak that I have and makes it into something great. Okay? Like, it's the only miracle that you find in all four Gospels for this reason. It really exemplifies the power of God. I remember in Townsville before StuVac or StudyVac, whatever you call it, you know, we would bring prayer forward just before dinner. So that way, you know, people can have the dinner and go and not have to wait for everyone else to pray after dinner. And one of the best things about it was that we used to pray the ninth hour prayer, which is this story about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And I used to always pray to God and say, just take the little knowledge that I have and the little study and the little efforts that I put in and make it into something great. You know, like, for me it was just passing my exam, but that was something great for me, and that's all I wanted. So I asked God this morning when I read this, that this was the sermon, I said, take the little time that I have left and bless it and give me a message and give everyone else a message. So, regarding the actual sermon, this story, like, I've always been so curious to see how this miracle actually took place, right? Like, we always read, it's like, oh, Jesus came and he blessed her and then everyone was filled. More than 5,000, just the men and the wives and the children. But, like, how did it actually happen? Like, was there, like, you know, did it, like, rain fish? Like, you know, with, like, people just sitting around, like, oh, there's fish in my hand. Or, like, you know, like, breadsticks in the back pockets. Like, what happened exactly? Like, it was... I've always been really curious. It was like in a smoke screen and then Jesus appeared and here's all the fish. Like, I don't know, and it doesn't say. But I'm sorry to tell you, yeah, I don't know what happened. But what I do know, and something I realized today that was very important, is that this miracle is carried out every single day until today. Right? And how is that? In the breaking of the bread and having Holy Communion. Every day, Jesus doesn't feed the 5,000, but millions and millions of Copts every single day through communion. You know, and it's the same sort of thing. You know, we sit down, not groups of 50, but, you know, groups of 3. You got the women, the men, and the deacons. And then the priest comes and he advocates for us. And the Holy Spirit comes. And then the bread is then transformed into the body of Jesus. And, you know, we stop and we see the story of the 5,000, we think, wow, like, what an awesome story. And then Jesus did a big miracle then, but we forget how he feeds us every single day today. You know, I'm always thinking about, like, I wish I was there around the time of Pope Carlos when he was doing all these miracles and I get to see some of his miracles. But we are experiencing the miracle today, right now, in this liturgy. This is a miracle that God gives us. You know, how is it that one body of Jesus is broken and feeds the entire world every single day? It doesn't make sense. We just think, oh yeah, it happens. But it's the one body of Jesus, and he feeds everyone every day. So, and the thing is, he doesn't even use these barley loaves that we saw in the reading. He uses his own body, his own flesh, right? And the thing is, like, every Egyptian likes a good bargain, okay? We're not going to deny that. I like a good bargain. Everyone likes a good bargain. But this is, it's cheating, right? Like, Philip said 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for every one of them to have like a little crumb left over. Okay? Now 200 denarii was about 8 months worth of wages. But I did a little bit of reading. What's interesting is like 30 pieces of silver is only around 120 denarii. Okay, I didn't like verify these figures, but let's assume they're true. So the price of Jesus, the Son of God, the King, was only 120 denarii, but it was still enough to feed millions and millions of Christians throughout the time, until today. So what does this mean? Jesus is not confined to the laws of this world. You know, we can't put limits on him. We can't say, oh, how are you going to feed these people? Oh, with this much money or this. But, you know, we've got to let God provide for us. Okay? Let him provide for your needs. What I love about this story is that when it first started, in the beginning is, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, saw the multitude coming towards him and said, you know, these guys are going to be hungry. Okay? No one opened their mouth. No one said, you know, they didn't look hungry or whatever. Just Jesus saw them, he's like, they're going to be hungry. And he knew what they wanted and he gave it to them without asking. But did the people have a role in playing this miracle, to play in this miracle? What do you think? Did the people have a role to play in this miracle? What do you think? Any takers? What is it? I can hear someone saying the. So I can tell you for sure that it was definitely not the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Like, you know, it's not like if God didn't have the 5 loaves and 2 fish, you'd be like, oh no, what am I going to do? Like, I really need those 5 loaves and 2 fish to turn them into thousands and thousands. It wasn't that he didn't have, you know, those 5 loaves. So that wasn't the part that they played at all. That was just like a nice little gesture for that little poor kid. But that wasn't it. There was something they had to do to allow Jesus to perform his miracle. And it was the fact that they walked towards him. Okay? They came to him and then it allowed him to do his miracle. So it's the same thing for us. We have to walk towards God. He has to see us and know us and love us and we have to be intimate with him for him to do something special with us. We can't just sit back and say, oh, you know, here are the good things I've done. God just work in my life. So we have to walk towards him. And it reminds me of a story of, you know, when I was at the end of year 11, I went to Abuna. I was like, oh, Abuna, I want to do medicine. He's like, what do you mean? You know, you're coming this late, and what about acceleration and contracts and this and that? He's like, all right, obviously it's not going to work for you. How's your relationship with God? Like, you need some sort of miracle to get you there because you know, you've sort of missed the boat. So I was like, yeah. So he's like, so what we'll focus on is, you know, we'll just pray for you. You're a case. We'll just have to pray for you. Like, okay, but. And I had started reading the book of James that in following up to that week. And when I went home that night, I was up to James chapter 4, and I was doing my reading, and the James 4 verse 8 came, and it said, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." And I remember reading that, and like. You know, just thinking, wow, like God just wants me to come close to him and he will rush up and grab you and want to spend time with you. So back to the story. What was the effect that this bread had on the people? You know, like when they ate the bread, what did it do? So later on in the story, this was John, we stopped at 14, but later on in John 6 verse 22, it goes, on the following day, they got up to look for Jesus. Like, they were hooked, you know. They were like, what is this bread that he gave us? You know, like, they didn't come and see a little miracle and like, oh, praise Jesus, and then, you know, come back and then go back and continue their own regular life and not, you know, not make any changes in life. They wanted to come back the next day and be fed. You know, like, and the fish, it wasn't like he didn't change it to like a bassa fillet. It was like, you know, the good, like, Atlantic salmon, like, the, you know, the good stuff. And the bread wasn't like barley bread, which is, you know, the dry, you know, it's probably like, I don't know, brioche buns or something. So it was like really, really good stuff there. So they're like, we want to come back for more. So this multitude, they were hooked. And I wish I had this eagerness and I felt transformed. Every time I had communion, I came out and just being transformed and wanting to come back the next day and wanting to change my life. We see in John 24, 6:24, it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, right, because he had left, they also got into boats, came into Capernaum, seeking Jesus, all right? So they went looking for him. They went back to find him, and he wasn't there, and he's like, all right, doesn't matter, jump in our boats, and let's go find him. And that's sort of what happened to me this morning. Like, I'm trying to think about the superficial intricacies of the story, and did, you know, fire come down, and Jesus, and was it cooked or not, right? And didn't even realize that this miracle happens every single day in the church, you know, like, and I get to, and we get to partake of the body of God every day. And with that thought, like, now it's not about perfecting the time I leave the house so I can get in here seconds before the gospel, you know, and say, oh, now I'm ready. When I'm ready, give me communion. Like, look at these guys, they came after the gospel, like 3 minutes after me, you know, they're not ready. That's not what seeking God is. It's not about, you know, this superficial thing. It's about coming eagerly, like these people were, you know, looking for Him, to partake of Him every single day. You know, we don't do these things because, you know, just they're there, but, like, you know, we don't fast because we like, no one loves fasting. It's like, oh, I love abstaining from food, it's my favorite. Like, no one says that, but we do it because we love God and we want to spend time with God. So the story continues. Then they said to him, what shall we do? You know, like, we want to, they finally caught up to him, like, what shall we do? And he said to them, and they also said to him, like, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Alright? So I have a public confession to make, even more. It's like a confession day today. So, Abuna Jonah, I don't know where he is, but he made me promise that every time I come late to the Mass, after the Gospel to have communion, I have to read 10 chapters in the Bible before I can have communion again the next time. Alright, so that was a little contract he gave me. And initially I was like, what is it's like, but why? Like, did he give this to punish me? Is it like, you know, drop and give me 20? Or like, you know, run 10 laps around the field? Is that why, like, he's, you know, it's like, you have to read 10 like chapters before you come? Is that why? And the answer is no. That's not why he gave me this, or that's not what his intentions were. It's because this is how we seek Jesus. Is that we come to Him and we read His Word. This is how we get fed. Is that we come and we learn about God, and that He, you know, He talks to us through His Bible. And we, after we have Him in communion, we are then fed by Him. So when we make God our primary focus, we don't worry about this world or our needs, because He promised to look after us. Okay. In verse 27 He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. I love that expression, when you set His seal on Him. Like, here is applied to Jesus, but again in Corinthians it says, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So God has sealed us. Do you know this concept? Like, it's a funny analogy I always think of when I think about this. God has sealed us, right? And my brother and I, when we were young, we'd love going and buying lollipops, okay? All different flavors. And him being a bit stronger and bigger than me, a lot bigger and stronger than me, he would always, you know, have his say, and he would take whatever flavors he likes, and then he leaves me the rest. So I came up with this genius plan that whenever I liked the flavor, I'd unwrap it, I'd lick the lollipop and put it back in the tray. I'm like, that one's mine, you can't touch it, right? And it's sort of the same, I think, when it comes to God. It's like, he licks us and he says, that one is mine, you know? Mina, he is mine, I've chosen him. You know, he's like, no one else can have him. The devil, you can't touch him, right? He's mine. So, that's what I think of when I think God's chosen people. So, there's a nice, in the New International Version it goes, He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So to finish off, what are we waiting for, right? What is stopping us from seeking Jesus? Like, the people from this gospel today, they were fed, and immediately the next day they came and they wanted to be fed again. You know, they turned the tables, like, where is he? Where did he go? They were looking in the wharf and everywhere. And where did he go? And they got on the boats and they went to seek him. What is stopping us from doing that? Like, is it the time? Is it commitment? Or maybe it's just like not really appreciating or knowing how much God really wants your heart. For me, it was like, Mina, I'm breaking my body for you every day. You know, I am the bread of life. Come and partake of me. I have chosen you and I love you. So let us try and seek him. And he will provide for us everything else. Don't worry about anything else. He will give it to you. All we have to do is seek him, is draw near to him. I'll finish with a story of like an experience I had about this concept of he will provide for you. When I finished year 12 and I got my uni offer, I decided, all right, I got it in Queensland. So I was like, okay, I need accommodation. So I applied for accommodation end of December, like beginning of January, which you have to actually apply from like early October. I was like, yeah, I'll start applying for accommodation. Put it in, waited, and it was about the 20th of January, and I hadn't heard anything. And I was starting to get a bit weird. So I called them up, I'm like, oh, you know, what's happening? And they're like, oh, we didn't receive your application. And all the spots have been filled. There is no more uni accommodation spots at all. Apparently I had to pay this $50 transaction fee, which obviously overlooked. So therefore I had to reapply from the 20th of January. And they're like, there is nothing. The waiting list is too long. There's nothing you can do. Like, we have no spots. Obviously mum was freaking out because we had to ask them for share out, what time we're in, all this stuff. So, but I was like, I just told, you know, we'll just pray and we'll just rely on God. He's always helped us out. And then one day I get a phone call. And they're like, oh, we built this new campus, and we're just wondering if you want a spot. I'm like, yeah, of course. And then they're like, oh, by the way, look, it's not really ready at the moment, so we're going to have to put you in a 4.5-star hotel for about 3 weeks and give you breakfast every morning and give you meal vouchers and in the city and free and like transfers to the uni. Is that going to be all right? I'm like, yeah, it should be fine. And I was like, I was so amazed. I'm like, God, like, he built me a new campus. Like, it's like, oh, okay, these ones are run out. That's okay, Habibi. Don't worry. I'll make you a new campus, and here's some food vouchers while you're at it. So it just made me really feel like God is always in control. We come and seek him, and he looks after us. And glory be to God forever. Amen.